Turn to Proverbs 3 and verse 8. Proverbs 3, 8. This is the second half of the, let's see, one, two, three, the fourth couplet, it looks like. So last time we looked at verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then that is the commandment followed up by the promise. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So we talked about being wise in thine own eyes last time and how that is something that is a form of pride. And now we're going to see that this that actually can have ill effects on one's health or positive effects on one's health if one is not wise in his own eyes. And that's what we want to look at here tonight. So being humble can have a good effect on the soul as well as the body. And on the other hand, pride, which is the opposite of humility, it can be detrimental to one's soul and body. And we're going to look at that here right now. So let's just look at a few verses here, which shows us that pride is destructive. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, which is quite a familiar verse to most of you. Proverbs 16, 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. This could be speaking, I suppose, physically or spiritually, but definitely in a spiritual sense, in a social sense, things that are not material, definitely a person's downfall is caused by pride. And that's typically not necessarily a physical downfall, but more of a spiritual or emotional thing. Proverbs 18 and verse 12 says, likewise, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So we'll look at that. We'll look at the second half of this a little bit later. Before honor is humility, but we want to look at the destruction aspect first. So when you see somebody who is haughty, which means they're proud, then they are, as that said in the other verse, headed for destruction. And this is haughty spirit is a precursor to destruction. And we've seen that happen in lots of lives, probably our own lives as well, if we would think back on it and be honest. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So pride has a detrimental effect, a destructive effect. And whenever the spirit is wounded through the destruction caused by pride, then that wounded spirit then precipitates bodily harm. And I'll just give you a few verses here. And I have them written out here, so I'll just read the pertinent portion. In Proverbs 15 and verse 13, it says, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So pride, destruction, brings sorrow of the heart, and then that breaks the spirit. And then Proverbs 17 and verse 22, a broken spirit drieth the bones. So pride, destruction, sorrow of heart, broken spirit, and then the bones dry. You see the link here. Dryeth the bones I guess it could be literal. You could have osteoporosis or something like that, but it's probably more of a figurative way of saying that it's you're diminishing, your body is weakening. Yes, exactly. And then Proverbs 12 and verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. So it'll bring, like I said, pride will bring, a man's pride shall bring him low. The heaviness in the heart makes the man stoop. So it's bringing you down. Thus, working through a broken spirit, pride can indirectly cause bodily maladies. That's why I say indirectly. We'll look at directly here in a second too. But David experienced this indirect bodily malady through pride whenever he had sinned and he was too proud to confess it. If you turn to Psalm 32, 3 through 5, we'll see that it was only after David acknowledged his sin that his health was restored. You've probably all heard of psychosomatic illnesses, right? Which basically is something that's going on in your head, and it causes bodily manifestations. And I think there's a difference. I'm no health expert, but I think there's a difference between psychosomatic and things that are just all in your head. Because I think psychosomatic things are, it's not in your head. You actually are in pain. Your body does hurt. You just don't think you're hurting. It's your mind, like mind over matter kind of thing, mind causing the body to ache. And I've had people have said that a lot of the pain, the chronic pain that a lot of people have these days, is all psychosomatic stuff. I don't know if it all is, but my aunt used to be a big believer in that if you're having all this unexplainable pain and back pain and things, chances are it's because of stress and your body's, that's your body telling you something's wrong and you need to change something. And I think there's probably a lot of truth in that. But anyway, Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 32, 3 through 5. And you've heard the saying, mind over matter. I don't know if you guys heard this, but in the Army, they would say, mind over matter. I don't mind and you don't matter. You ever? Yeah. Anyway, Psalm 32, 3 through 5. David says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. My bones waxed old. Remember that the broken spirit drieth the bones? He kept silence, so he hadn't confessed the sin yet. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, right? Pride bringeth low, remember that? Heavy, right? Pushed down. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So it took him a while to figure out, when the Lord had been pressing him low, eventually he realizes, you know what, I need to confess and forsake the sin. And once he did that, then he was brought up. But then pride can also directly cause physical problems for us, and that is through God judging the pride. So God can see a proud heart, and then he sends bodily pain your way. And I didn't even think about Job, and Job was a good man. He eschewed evil, but you know, Job did have a pride issue too, and which was, through all of his suffering, his pride was eventually rooted out. And because he wanted to have his day in court, and he wanted to talk to God, and he wanted to, you know, why is this happening to me, and this is wrong, and da da da. And the Lord then has a little talk with Job at the end of, you know, the last few chapters, and he says, where wast thou when I founded the earth, right? Tell me about it, Job. And so I don't know, it doesn't say why, you know, if that was God's ultimate purpose in afflicting Job, or if it was just a lesson for all of us. And I mean, who knows what reason God had for allowing Satan to do that to Job, but his pride could have been part of it. But Nebuchadnezzar was a good example of this. And I'm not going to read this whole passage. We've read it before in Daniel 4, 28 through 37. But you remember, Daniel had told King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to break off his sins by righteousness and to repent. And Nebuchadnezzar was on his good behavior for a little while. And then one day he's walking through Babylon. He says, look at this great Babylon, which I have builded. And right there, the Lord took his understanding from him, drove him out into the field to grovel around like a beast, till seven times over, and his fingernails grew out like bird's claws, and his hair grew out like bird's feathers, and he was literally crawling around, I don't know if it's seven times in 7 years or however long it was, but it would take a while for your fingernails to crawl out like bird's claws. So he was out there for a long time crawling around, eating grass like an ox, looking like an idiot. And so, I mean, here's physically, and I'm sure that was not physically appealing or physically pleasing to be in that situation. So there, pride directly caused physical problems for Nebuchadnezzar, until Nebuchadnezzar realized that there's a God in heaven and he's in control. And then he made that statement that he doeth according to his own will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? And whenever he made that statement, his reason returned unto him, it was said. And he came out of it and got back up on the throne. And there was also a guy named Haman, I'm sure you're familiar with, in the book of Esther. And Haman's pride led to his own execution on a 75-foot gallows that he had made to hang another man on, Mordecai, who would not bow down to him. Now, this is pride run amok here. All pride's bad enough, but when your pride drives you to murder another man because he won't bow down to you, you are headed for destruction. That's exactly what happened to Haman. You look in Esther 7, 9 through 10. I mean, you know, you really hate somebody when not only do you plot their murder, but you go to the effort to build a 75-foot-tall gallows to hang the guy on, right? You could have done it in the apple tree out in the backyard, right? But you really have to make a statement there with a 75-foot gallows. Esther 7, 9 through 10. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." So hang Haman on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. We read in Proverbs, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but a wise man will pacify it. Yeah, Haman pacified it, I guess, with his own life. But anyway, 50 cubits. Cubits about a foot and a half, so 75-foot tall gallows. I don't know I don't think they would drop somebody and hang them from the top of the gallows. I think that would just decapitate you. So I don't know what the point of the having such a high gallows was, other than just to really make a statement.
People could see.
Oh, and they'd hang them like way up high.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, they could hang them at the top of it, I guess. Yeah.
They did do special preparations to ropes. I read about that one time. It wasn't just any rope.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That would not be a nice experience. I think though, if they hang you right, you pretty much die instantly. I think because you fall and snap your neck and yeah. Not really high on my list of ways to die, but I suppose there could be worse. Now, just in the same way that pride can cause physical maladies, humility can foster good health, and that's basically what this verse is teaching us here in Proverbs 3 and verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, if we're not wise in our own eyes. So remember what it said in Proverbs 18 and verse 12. I said we'd get to the second half of that. The second half tells us that humility will have the opposite effect on us as pride will. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." So just like when you see somebody that's destroyed, prior to that, you can surmise that they were proud. And when you see someone who is honored, then you can also look back or reason back from that and say that this is a humble person. If he's honored by God, if he's honored by the reprobates of this world, then, you know, probably not. And then in Proverbs 29:23 tells us the same thing. Second half of the verse, "But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." So the pride brings them low, but honor upholds the humble. James 4:6, another popular verse, tells us that the Lord giveth grace unto the humble. The Lord resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And it says in 1 Peter 5:6 that humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. So humility is the path to exaltation. So being lifted up and brought to honor will cause a merry heart, which Proverbs 15:13 says, maketh a cheerful countenance. And the cheerful countenance, the merry heart, then doeth good like a medicine. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 22. So a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, Proverbs 15:13. And then the merry heart also does like a medicine. Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And this has been proven, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There are, like for instance, the POWs in Vietnam, I have been told that the ones that didn't lose heart lived through it. The ones that lost heart died. They just withered away. But the ones that kept a good attitude and had hope, some of them anyway, made it through it. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I totally believe in the placebo effect. I think the placebo effect is responsible for a lot of medicine that works. I'm sure some medicine will actually work no matter what, but a lot of, I think, honestly, and this is my opinion, but I think a lot of the alternative stuff, I think it's a lot of placebo effect. Placebo effect is that whenever you think it's you're going to feel good, and then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think that's why I don't, why it never works on me, because I don't think it'll work, or I doubt it'll work, and then it doesn't work. So, but anyway. But, I mean, I'm okay with a placebo effect, too. If it makes you feel better, then, you know, who cares if it doesn't actually do anything? If you feel better, then it, something worked. So we saw in Proverbs 17:22 that a broken spirit drieth the bones. But on the other hand, like the verse we're looking at here, it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, right? If we don't have a proud spirit, if we're not wise in our own eyes. And then even if a humble man gets sick, his uplifted spirit will sustain his infirmity. Proverbs 18 and verse 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? And I guess that really, that one is probably more applicable to the POWs than the other one that I used. Their spirit sustained them, but a wounded spirit is unbearable. So while the hearty heart of a proud man is headed for destruction, the sound heart of a humble man is the life of his flesh. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And I think these verses are speaking literally. I think that spiritual sin, like envy, like pride, things like that, does have a detrimental effect on your inward man and your outward man. I really believe that. And likewise, a good spirit within you, a humble spirit, has a positive effect on your health as well. That takes us to Proverbs 3 and verse 9.